السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Once again, أهلا وسهلا ومرحبا بكم to this edition of Consciously Connected, coming to you live and exclusively from the studios of Markaz Sahaba Online. Soul to Ahli Sunnah wal Jama'ah, the voice of the Ahli Sunnah wal Jama'ah in Durban, South Africa, on this day, the 29th of Jumad al-Ula, 1446, corresponding with the 1st of December, 2024. Alhamdulillah, we have just heard the power hour. Insha'Allah, we will now get on with our next segment, which is called Biladul Muslimin and presented by Brother Abu Bakr Sidat, Hafizahullah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Brother Abu Bakr.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Maulana, to you and the listeners of Markaz Sahaba, the voice of the Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Bismillah, we trust that you are all well, Maulana. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Jazallahu anna Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa sallam bima wa ahlu. Rabbi shrah li sadri wa yasir li amri wa luqdatam min lisani yafqahu qawli. Ji Maulana, we continue with our history of India and the creation of Pakistan. But before we go to that, we just want to talk about a few observations in the Middle East. The war in Gaza continues relentlessly, Maulana, and the Israelis have now, over the past 3 days, killed more than 300 people with the constant bombing that is taking place. But another development is taking place in Sham, and we know that the Sham that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told us about constituted Syria, Palestine, Jordan, Lebanon, parts of Iraq, and parts of the Hijaz, Saudi Arabia. And in Syria, the Ansarullah, the opposition, has taken over the city of Aleppo and are close to entering the city of Hama. In fact, Hama has a very close emotional contact with me, Maulana. In fact, in 2001, when we visited Syria, we went to Hama, and what a beautiful city it is. But it has a very sad history during the time of the first president, Assad. The city of Hama was ransacked by the Assad government, and the Muslim, Ikhwan al-Muslimin, were practically annihilated. The whole city was brought down to the ground, what is taking place in Gaza today. Another observation, Maulana, is what is taking place in Pakistan. We are dealing with the history of Pakistan, and Imran Khan and his wife, Bushra Bibi, have been now charged again with promoting terrorism, because we know of the protests that had taken place over the last week in Islamabad. Today, Maulana, we're going to continue with our history of India and deal with the history of Kashmir. We should not see the history of Islam in isolation, that it only took place in, these were the people who were in India. While we were dealing with the Tughlugs in the 13th century, the seeds for the creation of the Ottoman Empire, the Uthmani Empire, was being sown in the steppes of the Central Asia. And in the 1355, the Ottoman Empire came into existence, alhamdulillah, through the grace and mercy of Allah. What is taking place today in Syria also, Maulana, is Allah deciding the fate of the Middle East with the succession of the Ansarullah, the opposition in Syria. They are very close to the city of Hama. They have taken over Aleppo. But the Russians, they see the double deal that they play, Maulana, and we can't trust them also. They are staunch supporters of the Assad regime, Bashar al-Assad, and they have now undertaken to bomb Idlib and Aleppo also. Nevertheless, Allah make it easy for the people of Sham and make them successful. The sacrifices that the people of Palestine are making, Molana, is just beyond the imagination of the human mind. But Allah Ta'ala has told, in fact, yesterday we had a Jalsa in Springs where three boys became Hafiz, completed the hifz. And we had Molana Imran Kaji giving us a talk, and the attachment of the people of Palestine to the Holy Quran is just at another level, because it started some time back, and the place of Gaza is known as the city, the enclave of the Quran Sharif also. Allah Ta'ala has given them through the barakat of the Quran Sharif the resilience to withstand what is taking place there. Starvation, no water, bombardment continuously. Allah make it easy for the people of the Muslim world, the Bilad al-Muslimin in Pakistan, in Kashmir, in Myanmar, and in the Middle East. Today, Maulana, we're going to talk about Kashmir. It is a disputed territory in after 1947. The British, as usual, divided Kashmir into two sections. One is Azad Kashmir that falls into Pakistan after the partition of Pakistan. The other was under Indian control, where they were supposed, they agreed to have a United Nations supervised referendum regarding the status of Kashmir in India. And to date, after more than 70 years, nothing has taken place. The beginning of Muslim rule in Kashmir at the dawn of the 14th century, Sinadeva was the Hindu Raja of Kashmir. He employed a Muslim minister, Shah Mirza, who belonged to Swat. The Hindu Raja's queen, Kota Devi, was known far and wide for her great beauty. In 1315, Sinadevi Deva was overthrown by an adventurer, Renchan, who belonged to Balochistan, known as Little Tibet. The new ruler retains Shah Mirza as his minister. At the instance of Shah Mirza, Renchana embraced Islam and assumed the name of Sadruddin. He married Kota Devi, the widow of the Hindu Raja, on the condition that she would not be forced to accept Islam. Sadruddin was the first Muslim ruler of Kashmir. At his instance, many persons in the Kashmir Valley accepted Islam. He ruled for 24 years and died in 1339. On the death of Sadruddin, Udayana Deva, a scion of the house of Sana Deva, captured the throne. He married Kota Devi. He retained Shah Mirza as his minister. He ruled for 7 years and died in 1346. On the death of Udayana, Kota Devi wanted that her son from Sinadeva should assume the throne. Shah Mirza frustrated the attempt, and this meant the continuation of Hindu Raj. Shah Mirza captured the throne for himself and assumed the title of Shah Mir. Shah Mir married Kota Devi, but she refused to be converted to Islam. Kota Devi was unhappy at the failure of her son to capture the throne. On the night of her marriage, she tried to poison Shah Mirza. One of the maids informed Shah Mir of the plan. Kota Devi was arrested and thrown into prison. She died in captivity. As a ruler, Shah Mir followed liberal policies. The Hindu kings had been atrocious tyrants, and they had burdened the people with heavy taxes. Shah Mir abolished the oppressive taxes. He fixed the share of government in land produce and issued strict orders that no more levies should be made. He reorganized the administration and introduced some reforms. He promoted trade, he founded mosques and madrasas. He did not live long and died in 1349 after a rule of 3 years only. On the death of Shah Mir, his eldest son Jamshid occupied the throne. He could not have a firm hold on power and was dethroned in 1315 by his younger brother, who ascended the throne, assuming the name of Alauddin Ali Sher. During his reign, a severe famine occurred in Kashmir, and many Kashmiris migrated to various parts of India. Alauddin administered relief on a large scale. In spite of this calamity, there were no disturbances in the country, and Alauddin ruled peacefully. He was very particular about the morals of his people. He passed a law whereunder women of doubtful chastity were deprived of any share in the property left by their husbands on their death. Alauddin Ali Sher died in 1362. His rule lasted for 12 years. Shahabuddin Alauddin Sher was succeeded by his younger brother, who, on ascending the throne, assumed the royal name of Shahabuddin. He was a powerful ruler and came to enjoy a reputation as a warrior as well as an administrator. According to legend, he defended the Jam of Sindh on the banks of the Indus River. He defeated the Afghans in the west and marched up to Hindu Kush. In the east, he overpowered the Raja of Nagarkot and established a cantonment on the banks of the Sutlej River. Full details of his conquests are not available. It, however, appears that under Shahabuddin, there was considerable expansion in the dominions of Kashmir. According to during the period, Kashmir became a powerful state and had cordial relations with the many foreign powers. Shahabuddin ruled for 14 years and died in 1376. Shahabuddin was succeeded by his brother Handal, who assumed the title of Qutbuddin on ascending the throne. During his reign, the Saint Sayyid Ali Hamdani came to Kashmir, and through his missionary efforts, conversions to Islam took place on a large scale. The state prospered during his reign. Qutbuddin ruled for 18 years and died in 1394. Mulana, we continue also with our history of Islam after the Tughlugs. The Sayyids came to power in 1415, 1451. After the overthrowing of the Tughlugs, Khizr Khan became the ruler at Delhi. He ascended the throne but did not take up the title of the Sultan. He contented himself with the title of Rayat-e-Ala and regarded himself as a viceroy of Shahrukh, the successor of Amir Timur. Khizr Khan claimed to be a Sayyid, that is, from the ancestry of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Some historians regard this claim as dubious. Nevertheless, the dynasty whose rule he founded is known to history as the Sayyid dynasty. When Khizr came to power, a state of anarchy prevailed in the country. There was a lot of trouble in the Doab next door to Delhi, and the zamindars, that is the landowners, were in a rebellious mood. The country was fragmented into numerous principalities, each under a petty Raja committed to pay tribute to the Sultanate of Delhi. But which was withheld on the pretext or the other, and a force had to be sent to Delhi to collect the revenue. In Mewat, the Meos, a warlike people, were in rebellious mood. In fact, we remember Mewat during the time of Maulana Ilyas Rahmatullah Ali, where he started the effort of Tabligh in this district, that these were people who were completely ignorant of deen, and it changed their lives, and the work of tabligh was established from that area. The kingdom of Jaunpur, Gujarat and Malwa had become independent and had severed ties with the Sultanate. In the Punjab, the Khokars caused a good deal of trouble and had become a menace to the state. The Turk Buchas of Sirhind had become notorious for their conspiracies. The governors of various provinces behaved as independent rulers and did not care for the central authority. The country was at the mercy of the military adventurers and self-seeking politicians. Khizar Khan appointed Malik Ushirk, Malik Tufa, as his chief minister, who was given the title of Tajul Mulk. Tajul Mulk led an expedition against the rebellious Raja of Katihar in the Doab. The Raja was overpowered and was forced to pay tribute. Other petty chiefs were similarly overpowered, and the tribute was exacted from them at the point of the bayonet. The fiefholders, that is the zamindars who had become recalcitrant, were brought to order. In 1416, expeditions were led against Bayana and Gwalior, and the chiefs thereof were made to pay tribute. In 1418, 2 years later, the chief of Katihar rebelled again. He was defeated and he fled to the hills. The commander of the royal forces installed a new chief, who agreed to be loyal to the government of Delhi. An expedition was undertaken against the chiefs of Etawa, which proved to be inconclusive. The chief Badaun was involved in a conspiracy. He was apprehended and then tried and executed. By 1420, expeditions were undertaken against Koil and Etawa, and the recalcitrant chiefs were subdued. In the Jalandhar Doab in the Punjab, Malik Toghan revolted. Thereafter, he marched to Sirhind and besieged a fort. A force was sent from Delhi, and Malik Toghan was driven away from the Sirhind. He escaped from the battlefield and took refuge with the Khokars. Khizr Khan died in 1421. His rule lasted for 7 years only. During this period, the country did not enjoy much of peace, and the royal forces had to be on the move all the time, suppressing revolts in various parts of the country. According to contemporary historians, Khizr Khan was a wise ruler, kind and true to his word. According to Farishta, the people loved him and with grateful affection. On his death, the people of Delhi mourned him in black raiment. Khizr Khan was succeeded by his son Mubarak Shah. Unlike his father, Mubarak Shah assumed the title of Sultan. He styled himself as Muizuddin Mubarak Shah and disclaimed allegiance to the Timurids. When the rebel Jasrat Khokar came to know of the death of Khizr Khan, he descended from the hills where he had taken refuge, and after crossing the Bias and the Sutlej, ravaged the country from Ludhiana to Rupar. Thereafter, he laid siege to Sirhind. When Mubarak Shah led his troops to Sirhind, Jasrat Khokar raised the siege and fled to the hills once again. When Mubarak Shah returned to Delhi, Jasrat descended from the hills again, and after crossing the Ravi, plundered Lahore and the countryside around him. When a force was sent to chastise him, he fled once again to the hills. He advanced to Jammu and killed the Raja, his old enemy, Sikandar Tulifa. The governor of Jalandhar marched against him, but was beaten back. Jasrat pursued him to Jalandhar and ravaged the country. Then he retraced his steps and fell on Lahore once again, plundering the city, massacring the people, and enslaving women and children. Throughout the reign of Mubarak Shah, Jasrat continued to play the game of hide and seek with the imperial forces without being beaten. In the Ganges Jumna Doab, disturbances broke out again. There was a great revolt in Katihar. Mubarak Shah marched to Katihar and subdued the principality. The chiefs of Kabila and Etawa were subdued. Next, in Mewat, a revolt was led by two chiefs, Jalu and Kaddu. The revolt was suppressed after a good deal of bloodshed. In 1428, there was a confrontation between the forces of Mubarak Shah and those of Jaunpur. The battle was inconclusive and the status quo was maintained. In 1443, Foulad Turk Butcha revolted in Bathinda. He invited Sheikh Ali, the ruler of Kabul, to invade the Punjab. The ruler of Kabul invaded the Punjab and ravaged the country up to Sirhind. Mubarak Shah sent a large force to meet the invader. In the confrontation that followed, the Kabul forces were defeated. Sheikh Ali managed to escape to Kabul, but a greater part of his army was destroyed. He however ravaged Tulamba and left a part of his force in Shorkat. Lahore had also to bear the brunt of these invasions. When Mubarak Shah visited Lahore, the city was practically deserted. Mubarak Shah stayed in Lahore for some time and they took measures to repopulate it. Mubarak Shah developed differences with his chief minister, Sarwar ul Mulk, and deprived him of his fief in Dipalpur. In retaliation, the chief minister had Mubarak Shah assassinated in 1434. His rule lasted for some 13 years. A contemporary historian rated him as a clement and generous sovereign, full of excellent qualities. Other historians describe him as weak and fickle and hold that his rule was colorless. He built a town on the banks of the Jumna and called it Mubarakabad. He intended to shift the capital to Mubarakabad, but due to his death, the project came to an end. Mubarak Shah had no son. He was succeeded by Muhammad Shah, his son-in-law and a son of his brother Farid. The complicity of the chief minister Sarwar ul Mulk in the assassination of Mubarak Shah was well known, but the chief minister had a firm hold on power and was well known. No action could be taken against him. Muhammad Shah retained Sarwar ul Mulk in his office and to placate him, conferred on him the title of Jahan Khan. Sarwar ul Mulk, entrenched in power, rewarded all those who were involved in the murder of Mubarak Shah. To strengthen the position of the chief minister, he distributed fiefs among his friends and relatives. That caused great resentment and discontentment among other nobles. Sarwar ul Mulk tried to suppress the other nobles by force. In retaliation, the other nobles took to arms and broke out into an open revolt. In a confrontation outside the capital, the forces of the rebels defeated the troops of Sarwar ul Mulk. The chief minister shut himself in the palace at Siri, and the rebel forces besieged the palace. During the course of the siege, Sarwar ul Mulk discovered that the sympathies of Muhammad Shah were with the rebels and he was aiding them. Sarwar ul Mulk made an attempt to assassinate Muhammad Shah. Muhammad Shah was however on his guard, and the attempt of Sarwar ul Mulk to assassinate Muhammad Shah failed. When Sarwar ul Mulk came to see Muhammad Shah, the royal general guards fell on the chief minister and killed him. After the death of Sarwar ul Mulk, Muhammad Shah made Kamal ul Mulk his chief minister and conferred on him the title of Kamal Khan. Muhammad Shah decided to wield all power himself. Settled in power, Muhammad showed his unfitness to rule. He could not administer justice with any degree of fairness and passed arbitrary laws. That led to discontentment and revolts broke out in various parts of the country, but the Sultan chose to remain inactive. In 1440, Muhammad Shah Khilji, the ruler of Malwa, marched at the head of a large force to Delhi. His aim was to overpower the Sayyids and re-establish the Khilji rule in India. Muhammad Shah called upon Bahlol Lodi, the fifth holder of Sirhind, to come to his assistance. In the confrontation that took place at Tughlakabad, the Khiljis were routed and they retreated to Malwa. The Delhi Sultanate owed his victory to the skillful generalship of Bahlol Lodi. Muhammad Shah distinguished Bahlol Lodi by styling him as his son and conferring on him the title of Khan Khanan. Henceforward, Bahlol Lodi became the most powerful chief in the country, and Muhammad Shah became the mostly a non-entity. He died in 1444. His rule lasted for 10 years. His rule was colorless, and during this period, the dominions of the Sayyids shrank considerably, and most of the chiefs became more or less independent. Well, now we have come to the end of our program. We trust that you and the listeners will have a wonderful day. To you and the listeners of Markaz Sahaba, the voice of the Ahle Sunnah wal Jamaah, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and jazakumullah for the valuable information that you impart to us every Sunday morning and the valuable time that you give us. May Allahu Azza wa Jalla bless you with the both of best the best of both the worlds.
Both worlds. Alhamdulillah. Ameen. Ameen. Ya Rabbal Alameen. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Alhamdulillah. That was Brother Abu Bakr Sidat, and he presented the program Biladul Muslimin. We will, inshallah, now get on with our last segment, which is Qatawat ila Sa'ada, that is steps towards a blissful life in this world and in the hereafter.